Welcome back, everyone, to the Language and Behavior Podcast. My name is Joshua Stamper, and I'm here with the fabulous Charlie Peck. Charlie, how are you doing?
I'm great. It's great to see you. How are you?
Awesome. I just want to mention and highlight Mitch Weathers for a moment before we kick things off. He had an awesome summit, and we didn't talk about last week, but the Thriving Educator Summit. If you all didn't attend live, I'm pretty sure you can jump on and fill out the information to get the recordings of all the different summit presentations. But I had an opportunity to present with TJ Vary. Charlie, you know TJ, and TJ's awesome. He's out in Delaware, and we got to talk about leadership. I had more of the aspiring leadership component of it, where he had the established leaders. And yeah, it was just really fun to be live with them.
Awesome. Yeah, you guys always do such a great job together, especially. I love it. Mitch is great.
Well, we've got the Vibe EDU podcast also that we get to, you know, have weekly conversations. So it's good to always be with them. And so, yeah, it was a fun event, but I want to jump into this week's question. Charlie, this actually probably is based on some of the key components that we talked about last week. At the end of our episode, we were talking about stress. And so I'm going to pull this up on the banner for everyone. It says, how do I deal with stress each day? Is there a routine or habit you would recommend? So what's coming to mind when you see this?
Well, it's brain-based, right? Our habits live in this part of our brain called the basal ganglia, which is just a weird two separate words, but it's not in the thinking part of the brain. So we're not going to think our way through habits. That's why doing the habits repeatedly, time after time, is what's going to build the habits. But the thing is, Josh, it just seems so overwhelming to shift anything, especially if we try to do too much. So it's got to start with one little baby step at a time. And from the mental health perspective, like when I work with people who have depression, sometimes getting out of bed is the most difficult part of their day, the most difficult habit they have to form. And so a strategy I would just use there is one of them that worked really well, which is great. It was a young adult and she chose a really funny, I was like, get an alarm that's really funny, like something that'll just make you laugh when you hear it. Make that your alarm to wake up. So she did that. And then I said, the only thing you need to do when you hear that is just throw your covers off of you and sit up. That's it. Do that for a week. I'll see you next week. Do it every day as best you can. And that baby step, it activates the brain. It activates that part of you that you don't have to think about. Now, I want to hear your stuff because I could go for on and on about that. You actually do a keynote that surrounds habits. So tell me more. Let's start with you.
Oh, if we're just touching on the habit, the first thing that comes to mind that I touch on is, you know, instead of it just being a goal, it's actually your goal as your identity. And so I talk about this as far as like, for instance, if you're a runner, instead of saying like, oh, I'm going to run 5 miles every day, you really need to think of it as I am a runner. And so same thing with like, for instance, you know, I was an art teacher. So the goal is like, oh, I'm going to finish a painting, you know, every week, instead it would be the goal is I am an artist. And I think having that identity attached to the goal is probably the first step, because I think that's the biggest hurdle is that we have these things in our mind of like what we're going to set. And then we always disappoint ourselves because we don't actually hit whatever milestone we have. And this could be for anything. It could be professional or personal. But, you know, what's the number one thing that people have as far as a New Year's resolution? It's lose weight typically, right? Or I'm going to exercise. I mean, if you look at the research in regards to gym memberships, it's no surprise that January is the highest membership time for them. But when you look at actuality of like people doing what they're looking for, it falls off quickly because first step there is it's not about their identity, right? If it's, I'm going to lose this amount of weight, of course, that's going to be a disappointment versus I am a healthy eater and now it's my identity.
Yeah, there's actually a modality that we use in like in therapy or whatever, a motivational interviewing. And a lot of people actually use it all the time. You just used it right there. And it's pairing that habit with back to your values. So like, what do you value? And that's where we get them. That's where we get that little shift starts there. So yeah. And some of the work that I do too is the training, like you can camouflage it in there. You can keep it really simple and just be like, I call it guideposts. And it's like, that is the guidepost that you're aiming for, but let's not even think too far ahead. Go back before you even make a decision about anything so you can make it more reflexive based on the guidepost in your life, which is a value. Like, I want to be a kind person. Well, is what you're doing kind? So everything that you lean towards is that kind or honest? Like as a teenager, I lied a lot to get what I wanted. And I was a little bit reckless. We talked a little bit about this in Anaheim.
A little bit.
And I didn't want to be a liar. I wanted to be super honest and I wanted to have integrity finally. And so that meant that everything I did, it took a pattern of not lying, not even small lies, and certainly not to myself, because a lot of us are just lying to ourselves. But it was always aligned. Is this the honest thing to say or do? So you're right. It's that little piece, but if it goes back to your core of who you are and want to be, I love that. That's super motivating.
Yeah. The second thing that comes to mind is just what you said, right? You were talking about kind of those easy steps. And for that person, it was just getting the covers off, right? Going back to running. I don't know why that keeps popping in my head, but instead of saying, I'm going to walk 10,000 steps each day. Well, that's a big, heavy thing to carry versus the easy step is just putting on my running shoes, right? Just finding ways to take easy steps. So if I want to have a tidy house every day, well, instead of thinking I'm going to clean the entire house, which is a really big piece there, it could be, well, I'm just going to place one item into the laundry basket in my room. If you're looking to write a book, that could be a huge thing to think about instead of, oh, I'm just going to sit at my desk for 15 minutes and just write. That seems more manageable and easy in comparison.
Yeah, it's right. And the focus has to be on just one thing.
For sure.
One thing today, one thing this week. I always say a week because in a week, if you can commit to that one thing, just putting like people who want to work out or run, something that can work for them is put your workout clothes and your shoes and everything right next to your bed. Although some people will be grossed out about the shoes. Just put them by the door. Have the socks in them. Have the socks put in your shoes. But put your clothes out so that you just pop up and you get dressed and you go out the door and your shoes and socks are right there. Just little things to make it easier.
Well, and that's environmental design. Like you're literally setting things up to make sure that it's going to happen. A lot of times we have to put things in our viewpoint. So for instance, I'm really bad at drinking water. As you can see when I'm on the podcast, most often I have coffee in hand. And so I have to be intentional about making sure that I have plastic water bottles everywhere. So I have them on my nightstand. I have them on my desk. I have them in the kitchen. And most of them are just, I'm working through it as a day. But if I don't plant them where I can see them, it's not going to happen. So I have to be intentional about my environment to make sure that I put things around so that it's a visual reminder that, oh, I need to drink some water. And if I see that water bottle, then I'll go over and I'll drink it.
Yeah. And that's it. It's got to be so easy that you just have to just grab it. Because remember, it's not in the thinking part of your brain, that basal ganglia or whatever's in charge of it. And if you think about it, you'll talk yourself out of it. How many times have you talked yourself out of doing something, even though you know good for you? Yeah.
Yeah. Going for a run, going to the gym. I mean, a lot of that exercise stuff, when you think about it, you're very unmotivated and you're trying to think of every reason why you shouldn't do it. But how do you feel after you do it? You feel like $1 million.
Yes, you like, never regret it. You don't regret
it. You never regret it. Well, that goes with some, like you might need to have some external rewards too, right? So maybe if you do go to the gym, you have something at the end that you repeat that is something that you associate with your brain to say, okay, this is a really fun thing. Like, you know, I'm going to take a bubble bath every time I exercise. I mean, that's something that after I'm done, I'll go and do because I enjoy that. And it makes my body feel better also because of the recovery. There's a lot of other things in regards to that. But I think sometimes we forget to reward ourselves for the good things that we do too.
Yeah. My son's really good at this. He's 22 and he's on social media. So if anyone wants to look up Nick Peshko, it's great because he's got a business called Life in Motion. And he caters to his age group really, really well in that people who are stuck, it's really about these little life moments like that. He's got great strategies there. I didn't even mean to just plug him, but it's true. It's really good stuff. I even find myself watching it. I'm like, oh yeah. You know, you think of things, you know what you're supposed to do. But oh, sometimes, right, you just need that little kick or that reminder, like, oh yeah. Like he goes to the gym every day, ever since he started going to the gym, which is years ago, every day. I don't know anybody else who goes to the gym as much as he does, but he says, I don't always want to go, but it's my habit. It's part of what I do. There's no choice. It's just what I have to do. It's part of what I do.
Yeah. So last thing for me too is, and this coincides with the stress piece, because I think sometimes we're our own worst enemy as far as we put ourselves down. I didn't do X, Y, and Z. I'm horrible at this goal. Fill in the blank, right? But if you have a habit tracker, you're going to surprise yourself when you go back to see that, okay, I recorded, and it could be workouts, it could be what you ate, it could be how much you slept. I mean, there's a lot of things, right? But when what I find when people actually do this, the habit tracker component, is they actually are surprised at how often they do the thing that they think they're horrible at. And so mm-hmm. it's just a way to, one, give yourself encouragement, but two, also some data to show, okay, I missed 2 days, I need to get back to doing the habit that I'm doing. Or maybe you think, oh, I'm just the worst at this. And then you realize, you know what? I actually was pretty good 5 of 7 days. And that's encouraging to then consistently go and do the habit that you want. And so all the things we're talking about, you know, once you establish these habits, it's going to reduce the stress level in your life. And I think it's going to encourage you more and give you some hope for you to continue in that habit.
Absolutely. It does. The tracking, people think that it's a pain in the butt, and it can be, but if you set yourself up for it to work, like if you write stuff down, make sure it's printed, yep. like print several, don't have to rely on the next week to print a new one, because you won't. But yeah, that's the only way I've ever like matched my weight goals or even my like macro goals, setting the time of when I want to either have a certain amount of macros or lose a certain amount of weight. It's the only way I've ever done is tracking it. And then I eat healthier. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so many calories left. I didn't even need all that other crap. How much like have I been eating? Cause I'm just grazing and not even keeping track of it. Yeah.
The gummy bears add up.
Gummy bears add up. There's always room for gummy bears. Always.
Well, and to the point of like the professional side of things too, I used to do relationship walks because it was like something that helped me feel better about my day. It gave me life. It filled my cup. So like I actually had a spreadsheet and I had it right next to my desk, right? Talking about the environment piece, but I had this tracking sheet that I use both digitally and on paper to record it daily that I got it done. And it was something that I had to have a touch point to. Otherwise, if I didn't do it, I just felt gross at the end of the day. Like I was stuck in my office, I had all these meetings, I had to fix all these problems, and I didn't do the fun things that I wanted to do and make connections with people. And so professionally, that's what I did to help with my stress level, help with my passion, but then also trying to have like good, strong habits to build relationships on the campus.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that you combine the two, because you got to sneak stuff into your day, and it serves both agendas, yours and theirs, which is great.
Yep. Love it. All right. Let's jump into Behind the Banner.
Okay.
I want to know about a childhood hobby that would surprise people that you actually took part in a long time ago.
Wow. Well, I was an avid athlete. So mm-hmm. every single day of the week, probably, I was playing a sport on a team. Was like shortstop, playing softball, play basketball, volleyball. I love soccer. I've just played it all. So maybe that's it. That's probably it. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, we have that in common. I tried every sport. I would say probably karate. I did karate for several years.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
As a little guy. And
what belt did you get to? What'd you get to?
Orange.
Orange. That's good. Yeah,
but I was like from 7 to 9, I did it. So and I remember good. Having to spar against really big people.
Yeah, it's good for confidence, really.
Yeah, it was really fun, but it was in the exploration, right? And it was my parents were just constantly trying to see what stuck. And so it was just putting me in everything. And eventually I landed on soccer and did it for over 20 years.
Wow, that's awesome. It's so neat yeah. when you can have longevity with it too.
Yeah, I got to play in college and yeah, I did for a very long time and got to coach it. So yeah. That is one of my passions too. All right, let's talk about 2026. So Charlie, I know that we've talked a lot on this podcast about various things that we offer to folks. So will you just kind of walk them through some of the things that you provide to help support them?
Yeah, I'm excited because it's always based on what they're asking for. So if it's certain trainings, then I'm giving them training. Oftentimes it's topic specific, but I've got a cohort and then the keynote with the district days. And then I do the topic specific, which is great. So I've simplified that, which I'm really excited about. It's just very digestible and it makes sense for what people need. And then the most recent thing that I've just put out there is curriculum. So it's K through 12 curriculum for those of you who have skills groups. So you can just go to my website, go to thrivingeducator.org. It's up there, curriculum, and it is differentiated. Eventually, what I'm working on here, Josh, is differentiating between among every single grade level. They're asking for that too, because kindergarten is very different than second grade. I mean, I do have K-2 and then 3-5, but 3-5, like that's all different. So I'm excited about those things. What about you? I know you've got a lot going on.
Yeah, I think just as a minimum, I think my two things that I'm focused on in 2026 is my Aspired Lead cohort. So that's working with aspiring leaders. And so I've got an awesome group that's established, but there's going to be a couple entry points for some additional folks to join that cohort. And so I've got folks from all over the country, just coaching them and giving them some assistance as to getting them to their goal, which is to obviously be promoted into a higher leadership role. And then of course our keynotes, you know, we're just getting so much traction, Charlie, with the keynotes that we're doing and traveling all over to help support educators. And so, yeah, those are the two things that I'm really focused on. The third piece too is of course the thing that we're doing together, which is that cohort model, working with, you know, school districts with the language of behavior. And I absolutely love working with you on that and looking forward to, you know, how we can support other schools and districts with that too.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm just so grateful to be able to do this work. I mean, it's just awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're looking for anything in regards to keynotes, or if you're an aspiring leader in the cohort, you can head over to joshhammer.com. Otherwise, for Charlie's work, we talked about that. Thrivingeducator.org is her website. And then, of course, if you have any questions for us, if there's something that you've listened to in a prior episode or during this episode that, you know, maybe spawned a question that you want us to expand on, you can head over to bit.ly/LOB questions. We love that so many folks take this opportunity to ask, and we get to, you know, see what's going on in your world, at your campus or your district, to support you in that way. And so if there's anything that we can do for you, please let us know. You can contact us through our websites, and the websites are in the show notes. Also, if you find this podcast to be something that you absolutely love, we'd love for you to jump into your podcast platform and provide a rating review. That always helps us in regards to getting other folks to see the podcast and jump in and take advantage of, you know, what we're offering here. So Charlie, is there any last words for the episode?
Yeah, I want to go back to that habit in the brain. So just remember, a habit follows a cue, behavior, and then an outcome loop. It's very predictable. It's not like pop psychology or anything. It's like neural efficiency here. So just the cue activates the prediction, that circuitry going on, then that behavior will fire and it creates these pathways for you. And then that outcome reinforces that loop all over again, especially if you got that dopamine release. So if you like the activity, you're going to get more dopamine. So that is a let's do it again kind of thing. So follow that. It's very easy. Cue, behavior, outcome loop over and over.
Love it. All right. Well, we hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll see you again next Tuesday.
Bye, guys.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.